Audrey will be in Washington next Wednesday for Morning Ireland's extended coverage of the US election result. There are only 4 days to go now in the race for the White House, and 57 million Americans have already voted, have already backed either Vice President Kamala Harris or former President Donald Trump. The race is too close to call, say the experts, so close that small numbers of voters in just 7 key swing states could determine the outcome. So next Tuesday night, many of us will be back watching CNN's chief national correspondent, John King, and his famous magic wall of interactive touchscreen maps. Anyone remember Maricopa County in Arizona? Well, John King spoke to us from Michigan last night, and he gave me his takeaway on this tight race in these closing days of Campaign 24.
It is as close as it can be in the 7 battleground states that are going to decide the election. You're right, this is my 10th presidential election, and this is the most complicated. It's the closest. The different coalitions of the candidates make the math in some of these states incredibly complicated. Either candidate could win. Donald Trump is in a stronger polling position at the end here than he was in either 2016 or 2020. He won one of those elections and he lost the other one. And the vice president has had to put on a full presidential campaign in a little more than 100 days, which is historic in its own right because of the switch from President Biden to the vice president. So it has been an incredibly remarkable campaign. The consequences are enormous, not just for the United States, but for the world. And anyone who tells you they know who is going to win is making it up, because it is that close.
And looking at the different groups of voters, how are race and gender and class playing for the two campaigns?
I think all three of those issues are dividing lines in American politics. One of the biggest questions for Vice President Harris is, you know, can she generate Obama-like turnout in the African-American community across the country, but especially in states where it hugely matters to the Democratic coalition, states like Pennsylvania, states like Michigan, where I am today, states like Wisconsin, states like Georgia, states like North Carolina, where you have a higher percentage of Black voters. It's absolutely essential for the vice president's coalition, not only that they turn out in high numbers, but that she wins with a very high percentage. And Donald Trump has made some inroads in the Black community and in the Latino community. So it's going to be very interesting to see how, you know, what we call voters of color, who have traditionally been very loyal to the Democrats. Very interesting to see how that plays out. For Trump, this is a fascinating one for me. Having done 10 of these, never in my lifetime have we had the same candidate representing the same party in 3 consecutive elections. You know, so, you know, the vice president, if we're having a maths conversation, the vice president is the variable, right? She's the new candidate who came in late. Donald Trump is the constant. This is the third time he'll be on our national presidential ballot. And the class issue factors hugely for him. You asked about that. You know, one of his strengths is out in rural America. And one of his biggest strengths is voters who have maybe a high school education, but not a college education. And Joe Biden cut into that a little bit. His own blue-collar upbringing in Pennsylvania helped Joe Biden cut into Donald Trump's support a little bit. And there's a question about whether the vice president, a woman who's from California, very different, you know, upbringing and background than Joe Biden, can she cut into that working-class, mostly white support that is key to Donald Trump's foundation? That's another one of the fascinating coalition math questions I have.
And if Donald Trump does win, why does he win? And if he loses, is there any chance he'll concede?
Well, if he loses, let me take those in reverse order. No, he and his people are already, and this is sad, and it's anti-democratic, but he and his people are already planting the seeds of distrust and mistrust. And they're putting out a lot of disinformation, even about the early voting process, saying that there are irregularities when there are no major irregularities as we approach election day. This is a playbook Donald Trump has used before. We expect him to come out on election night and say he won the election. And we know that late on election night, we're not going to know yet. It could be several days again, just like it was in 2020. So that part is sad. But we know the playbook and just believe what he says. He's been saying this as he campaigns across the country, that he's already questioning the process. What happens if he wins? Why? If he wins, why? The biggest reason would be the cost of living, the impact of inflation across the United States in the last several years, especially among working class voters. Energy prices are higher. Housing prices are higher. Food prices are higher. Some of this was, you know, what happened after COVID, right? You have the economic collapse after COVID, then you have government spending to try to bring the economy back. And I think one of the biggest issues, in my view, in traveling the country for the last 15 months is because President Biden was unable to make the case that, yes, there are some problems coming out of the COVID, you know, the COVID recession. There are some problems, but the United States economy, if you look around the world, is doing far better than most of the other Western industrialized nations. But the inability of the president of the United States to communicate is now hurting his vice president as we get closer to Election Day.
And now a question, two questions about the Harris campaign. If she wins, can she really bring these divided states together? And if she loses, does Joe Biden get the blame?
If she wins, can she bring these divided states together? Well, what a fascinating question. Traditionally, our presidents get at least a brief honeymoon, but that's gone away, right? In my lifetime, you know, Bill Clinton won an election with Ross Perot and George H.W. Bush on the ballot, three candidates on the ballot. He got a little honeymoon. George W. Bush won an election decided by the United States Supreme Court. He got a little bit of a honeymoon. Since Donald Trump has been on the stage, our polarization is even more exaggerated, even more vicious and mean sometimes. And so it's hard to expect a honeymoon. That would be an enormous challenge for her. She's brought some Republicans in to help her with the campaign. She says she would bring some Republicans into the administration. We also know that, you know, if she wins, those very some of those Republicans are going to try to fight to keep her from being inaugurated. They're going to fight to contest the election again. So the climate says absolutely not. The vice president would say she's going to try. So that would be an amazing question if she wins the election.
And if she loses, who'll get the blame?
I think the president, President Biden, will get a lot of the blame for waiting so long to step aside, for not being honest with the American people about his decline, at least his ability to travel and to mount a vigorous campaign. He will get some of the blame there. I think some of it is, you know, an economist could come in and make, you know, debate me about the inflation impact and whether Joe Biden is to blame for that. But the, you know, the incumbent administration takes the blame when people don't feel good. And the American people are in a bit of a funk. They went from COVID into this inflationary environment, add in globalization, the fears of, you know, the age of artificial intelligence. People are in a funk and they don't have a president at the moment who can offer them a North Star. Here's where we're going. It's a little scary, but this is where we're going. And so I think the climate would get some of the blame. It's hard to be an incumbent administration, even though the economic numbers in the United States are much better now than they were six months ago, a year ago. People still feel tired from all of that. So that's part of it. But I do think the president's inability to communicate early on and then his waiting until just over 100 days ago to step aside, that would be a big part of it. Of course, she's the candidate. She'll take some of the blame. She's the CEO of her campaign. It's her responsibility. But I do think there'll be a lot of finger pointing at the president if that happens.
Talk to us for a moment about the House and Senate races and how they're playing out and the significance of those outcomes to whoever the next president is.
Well, if you want to win and pass your agenda, you need the Congress. And we have a very evenly divided Congress anyway. So your biggest initiatives, whether you're Vice President Harris or Donald Trump, can you get your biggest initiatives through the Congress? I think that's a question mark no matter what happens. Because of our United States Senate, you need 60 votes to do anything big. And I don't think either party will have anywhere close to 60. It does look like, as we go into the final days, that the Republicans will flip the Senate. The Democrats narrowly control the United States Senate right now. And every indication is the Republicans will at least narrowly win that 50 or 51 seats, maybe a little bit higher than that. The higher than that depends on who wins the presidency. If Vice President Harris wins, the Democrats win the White House, I still believe the Republicans will narrowly win the Senate just because of the states in play and how conservative those states are this year. The House of Representatives is just a jump ball. You have a very narrow Republican majority right now. And I think that one will, several of the seats the Republicans would need to keep that majority are in New York State, which is a blue state in presidential politics. Several of the others are in the battleground states where I've been traveling this week. And those tend to go where the presidential race goes. So the outcome of the presidential race is likely to determine the control of the House. But because that race is going to be so close, again, I think we're back in an environment where in the United States Congress, you know, we might have a split decision, Republicans in the Senate and Democrats in the House. And no matter what happens, whoever wins is going to have a very narrow majority, which makes it very hard to get anything done.
So election night, and indeed not just election night, but probably the days and nights to come, will you be back at the Magic Wall?
I will be on a very short leash within a foot or two of my friend, as I call the magic wall. I think it's the most powerful information tool in journalism. And we've been at it for 16 years now, and we constantly make it better, but also keep its basics that I hope the American people and people around the world trust, especially in this age where, unfortunately, people are constantly attacking the process, attacking the integrity of our vote count, attacking the integrity of the news media. I think it's important to have things that people trust and people feel comfortable with. And so I take a lot of pride that the magic wall has become sort of an iconic piece of election coverage, not just here in the States, but around the world.
And you have you've a new app, don't you, for all the political nerds out there. We can all delve down into Maricopa County as you brought us through in 2020 for ourselves.
And I hope the people of Ireland will do that. Join with me, right? Unfortunately, I'd like to have, we have to have the Ireland version so I can show you where I'm from in Connemara. But I can go up into
it
Galway.
It all begins in Dunlochan, isn't that right?
Yeah, that is correct. And so if I could zoom in on, County Galway and then take us out to Dunlochan, that would be great. We'll have to do the Ireland edition of the Magic Wall as soon as we can.
Imagine that for our election. Fascinating stuff there from CNN's chief national correspondent, John King.